All right, and giving you a moment to find your place in 2 Chronicles in chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. I'm going to try to do this tonight with I have a pretty serious thought on my heart. I don't have an awful lot of notes written down. I'm just relying on the Lord to help us here. I'm going to read to you the first two verses of chapter 15, the book of 2 Chronicles. I see you standing, so you found your place. So we'll read these first two verses. The Bible here says, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. And Lord Jesus, this evening I do ask you to be with me and help me, Lord, that we might not only preach this, Lord, and not only hear it, but Lord, that we take it to our heart. I ask you this, Lord, for we seek to serve you, and so that we must then, Lord, must be in right standing with you. And so, Lord, I seek to find us all, the congregation and myself, all of us at your feet this evening. And I ask you to help me with this. I ask you to help us all. And it's your name, in your name, that we pray these things, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Now, what I have for you is a fairly serious thought tonight. And I probably won't take long in covering it. And I want to tell you, I'm not trying to skin you. I'm just trying to get our minds in the proper frame of mind. I'm trying to get us the right perspective, you and I both. And what I'm trying to preach to you tonight is that last phrase, He will forsake you. Now, think about that pretty hard. I've often heard it preached, and it's true, I will never forsake you. But here he says, He will forsake you. Now, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. And it sounds like those two statements do contradict themselves. And so we're going to have to come to a proper understanding of this thing, you and I. We're going to have to, of course, God has a proper understanding. So we've got to understand what He means. Because it looks like here that there's some conditions here. He said, the Lord is with you while you be with Him. And then again He says, if you seek Him, He will be found of you. So there's an if on that one. And the third thing he said is, but if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. And so I've really only got 2 points tonight to cover this on. I'm covering he will forsake you, and I'm only going to cover this from 2 standpoints. Now hear me on this. What I'm trying to deliver you is what the Lord gave me. I realize that you're supposed to come out with 3 points and an introduction and a conclusion and so forth and so on. But if the Lord don't give you that, you can't really do it. All I've got is 2 points to cover. And I want you to hear me carefully, because if you hear me wrong, it'll sound like I've contradicted myself on everything I've preached to you. And I haven't. The first thing I'll tell you is He will forsake you in 2 matters. Salvation and sanctification. Now go ahead and look at me funny, because that sounds opposite of what I've taught you. It's not. I want you to hear me. I'm going to try to explain it to you as best I can. You know, for hundreds of years, people were agreed that people who forsook God and ran around without Him died lost. They only disagreed on how they viewed it. There was one school of thought that said that person had been saved, and in abandoning God, they abandoned their salvation. They didn't say lost their salvation. They said they purposely chose and abandoned their salvation. There was another school of thought that said in abandoning God, they were demonstrating that they never had salvation. Now, the two schools of thought agreed that somebody who abandoned God and ran off did show that he died lost. Now, in modern times, particularly over the last 50 years or so, there's been the rise of a school of thought that said, that's twisted that latter doctrine into something that says, well, because if they were saved, they were always saved, if somebody's made a profession of faith, they've got it made, no matter what. But I want you to hear what the Lord said. He said this to His prophet. He said, if you forsake Him, he will forsake you. You say, well, brother, that's Old Testament, that's a prophet, and you're twisting this out of shape, and that's not what it was intended. Oh, okay, we'll go over to Luke now. We're going to go over to Luke, and we'll just see what Jesus said. We'll go over to Luke, and we'll go to chapter 9. We'll go over to Luke chapter 9. And we're going to be in the end of that chapter, so if you find Luke chapter 10, it'll just be a few verses before that. And I want to read a few verses because I want you to get this as it goes. I want you to understand I'm not just pulling a verse out of the hat. The Lord here was answering people who really didn't have any commitment with them. In verse 57, it says, "It came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest." You know what he said? He said, "I surrender all." He said, "I'm in it, buddy. I'll always be there with you." You know what we call that in today's world? A profession of faith. Somebody stood up and said, "I have committed all. I have decided. I have given it all." Well, Jesus knew his heart. It says, "And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds there have nests, and the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." It don't sound like that. He said that, and the man took off. That's what it sounds like. And he said unto another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Now, that don't just mean his father was laying there dead and he had to bury him. That meant that his father was dying, and he wanted to go back home and take care of all those affairs. But Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." You know what he's doing? He's demanding complete and utter service all the time, the whole way. There's no room in here for partial service. Now, here's where I really want to concentrate these last couple things. And another also said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but..." How about that? "I will follow thee, but..." "I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house." And Jesus said unto him, I want you to catch this, "No man..." That's nobody. "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." See, Jesus also said, ain't no quitters on this team. Now, I don't care how you look at it. I've told you how I look at it. I believe that if you quit, you show me that you never got what I got. I believe if you quit, if you apostate, if we want to put it in biblical terms, if you reject Jesus Christ, after having said that you accepted Him, or believed in Him, was saved, then I believe that you demonstrate that you didn't have it. Now, if you want to say that you believe that that shows that you just rejected what you had, that's fine, brother. I don't really care. I'm not going to argue with you. But there are those that quit. And as a matter of fact, you can find all over articles about people who said they were Christian and are now atheists. Now, you tell me, are they going to heaven? How's that fit you? How's that fit the once saved, always saved philosophy? So the way it fits me is that I don't believe they were ever saved. I don't believe they had it. But you better have room for that in whatever you believe. Because there's a lot of them in our ranks that when somebody just comes up and says they believe, they'll overlook anything they do. Anything they do. And say, well, you know, they're saved, but everybody ain't saved says they're saved. What I'm trying to say with this, the Lord said, "I will forsake thee to a certain crowd." He said it to a certain crowd. And just like this, "I will never forsake thee" is to a certain crowd. "I will forsake thee" is to a certain crowd. The reason that these things do not contradict is because these promises are to two groups of people. Two different groups of people. Do you understand that? As a matter of fact, back to our original text, if you look, he separates this thing out into two different groups of people. There's one group that's going to quit, and there's one group that's not going to quit. And I tell you, it makes a difference in salvation. It makes a difference on Judgment Day as to whether or not somebody's going to walk through the pearly gates or whether or not they're going to walk into the gates of hell. It makes a difference as to what, and there's a faith that quits and there's a faith that doesn't quit. And I tell you, what comes from God doesn't quit because it's from God and God's eternal. And faith, by the way, is a gift. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You catch that? There's a faith that comes from God that's given unto you, and there's a faith that people make up of themselves that will not last. And that thing, and it proves itself. It says, the Lord is with you while you be with Him. And if you seek Him, He will be found of you. But if ye forsake Him, He will forsake you. There is a salvation that's not a salvation. It's an artificial salvation. It's a man-made salvation. It says in the book of John that we're born again not of the will of man, but of the will of God. See, you can't of your own willpower be saved. It takes faith, and that faith is a gift from God. Real salvation, and again, I know it seems like I hit real salvation all the time. I believe I have to. I believe it's one of those things we have to be very, very much grounded upon. Real salvation means a new creature. It says neither circumcision is anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature in Christ. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. That means a new creation. It means you've been created again or generated again. That's what it means by born again. Generated again. You've been recreated. The new nature is different from the old nature. And I'll promise you this, that if not, the old nature will still show up. And if a man has not a new heart, a new nature, completely different, his old self will show up and God will forsake him. Will forsake him. And all the arguments in the world about whether that means that person lost or rejected salvation or whether that person simply proved they were never saved. And I've already told you which side of that I'm on. I believe they were never saved. But all those arguments mean nothing. What means something is whether or not a person believed all the way, continuing or not. You know, I read you this in Luke where Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I would also remind you in this same book of Luke, it's in chapter 17, verse 32, if you want the address, you don't have to turn there. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. You know why he said, remember Lot's wife? What did Lot's wife do? She looked back. She looked back and she was destroyed. And he just said here, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. God doesn't have those that turn back, that turn away, that turn aside. They're not going through to that eternal kingdom of God. And so the first thing I tell you on this thing, well, there's even more to it than that. I've tried to bring this out before, I think. In John 3:16, when it says, whosoever believeth in Him, the ETH in the King James Bible always means a continual sense. That belief in Him that saves is a continual belief. Real belief continues. Real belief continues. By the way, repentance itself is a gift from God. When the door of salvation was opened to the Gentiles, in Acts, I believe it was chapter 11, I may be one chapter off there, when Peter went back and told the rest of the Jews about it, they say, we see that God hath also granted repentance. Say it to the Gentiles. Granted. In other words, God gave them the ability to repent. Repentance is a gift from God. And by the way, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So repentance is a gift that's given without repentance. What does that mean? It means that if you've ever been given the gift of repentance, repentance is not being sorrowful, by the way. It's an actual change in you. It goes beyond sorrow. I'm not saying you won't be sorry. I'm just saying repentance goes more and deeper than being sorry. Repentance goes to the point it actually changes you. And if you've ever been given that, it won't be taken away from you. And further, and proof of repentance is that you keep on repenting. In other words, you're never happy with who you used to be, and really never happy with what your flesh is right now. And any person that gets satisfied and quits on God, and view it however you want to, God will forsake. God will forsake. The second thing I bring out, I've said that this is true in salvation. And that's important. I hope the second one is more important to you. If the first one's more important to you, then think on it. Think on it. If that's where you're at, then think on it. And let the Lord help you on that. Let Him deal with you on it. But if the second one, I think, is important to every child of God. I said that the Lord will forsake those who forsake Him in salvation. And the second point I've got for you, and the last point, is that God will forsake those that forsake Him in sanctification. I've told you, the thing of sanctification is a thing of being set apart for God. It includes, by the way, what we would think about as cleaning up your life. It includes those things about trying to get closer to God. It includes trying to live more holy, not holier than thou, but more like Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about self-righteousness. I'm talking about His righteousness. And I'm talking about the real stuff. Now, if you have gotten to a certain point, you have, whoever you are, you've gotten to some kind of point, and you want to go further with God, I believe that He'll help you do it. I do. If you say, I've gotten to a certain point, and I'm having trouble now, I believe I need to clean up something in my life. And by the way, I believe that the Lord will always show you what it is. I do. And the reason why is because I believe in Him. And I believe that He wants us. He said, be ye holy as I am holy. Now, He won't give you that command without giving you a way to do it. What God requires, God provides for. And if He told us to be ye holy as I am holy, then He'll tell you what needs cleaned up in your life. He will. And I believe that every person in here that's a child of God knows what they need to clean up in their life. Now, I'm including me. I'm including you. Now, I believe that. And it may be all different things in here, but everybody in here has something, I believe, that God wants you to do. Now, if you'll seek Him, I think the Word of God brings it out, that He'll be found of you. If you're having trouble with that in your life, I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to give you hope. If you're having trouble cleaning up something in your life, your help is not from me. Your help is from God, and He will help you do it. But let this be known. If you quit, He's quitting. And if you're done, if you're saying, that's it, I can't live close to God no more, He's done helping you. If you make a promise to Him, I advise you to keep it. Now, I'm not preaching that tonight. There's an awful lot in here about making a vow and then breaking it. Now, most Christians, somewhere in their walk, have backslid on a promise to God. I didn't say everybody has, but I'm convinced that most have, if not all, have backslid on a promise to God somewhere. And I don't know, maybe you're there. Maybe you got something where you promised God you'd do something, and after a while you got tired of it and you said, man, I can't do this, and you quit. Well, I would tell you that you're not going to get any further with God. You're not going to get any closer to God. And I'm telling you this, I mean this, until you go back to that point and get it right. And if you promised it, you promised it. Again, let me turn and show you some scripture on this. Show you something that you can put your teeth into on this. In the book of Joshua, and I could take this out of almost anywhere in Deuteronomy, but I'm going to take it out of Joshua. In chapter 23. Now, what's going on here is Joshua's getting old, and he's trying to tell these tribes. As a matter of fact, in this very chapter, he says, I am old and stricken in age. So he ain't just middle-aged. He's on up in years, and he knows it's getting toward his time. And he's trying to tell these tribes something to keep them going right before God, because he loves them, and he wants them to be right with God, and he wants them to fulfill their part of it, so that they'll get their full inheritance from God. And he tells them something here. We're going to go from verse 11, and we'll just read about three verses. Verse 11 through 13, chapter 23. Did I tell you what chapter? Okay, chapter 23. No wonder you wasn't turning your Bibles. Chapter 23, the book of Joshua. In chapter 23 of the book of Joshua, and starting in 11, and this is old man Joshua now. This is long after the battles that we all know about. And he's got them gathered around. And he's trying to tell them something about following after God and about God fulfilling the promises that he's got for them. And he says, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Else, if you do in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you. And he's talking about these that God said, kill all this stuff. And by the way, this promised land is a picture of us possessing our own lives and our own bodies. And what God's told us to clean out, we're to clean out. And so basically, if we get tired of cleaning ourselves out and say, well, no, I'm just going to be content to live with this in me. If you do this, verse 13, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your side, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. You know what he said? He says, if you quit on me, I'm quitting on you. And if you're not going to follow through, then I'm not going to follow through. And we know for a fact that although the Lord promised Israel the promised land, they've never yet inherited all that He promised. I'm not going to get too far into it, but I could ask you real quickly, have you inherited everything that you were promised? And you and I both know that we've hindered our own selves. You and I both know that we've held ourselves back. And again, I'm not trying to beat you. I'm talking to us. We've held ourselves back. So what then is the answer to this thing? Well, what was the first verse I read right there? Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. Y'all, this is the difference. This is the difference. I believe it's the difference in salvation as to whether or not somebody is seeking after, if somebody is seeking after God because they want Him, or because they're trying to get fire insurance for themselves. I think that's the difference. If all somebody's trying to do is save their wicked hide while they keep it wicked, I don't believe they ever get through. And they might try to jump up and cry and holler and say, I got it, and anything they want to do. But if they're not there because God is God, and they're bowing to Him and submitting to Him, they'll never get it. And I believe that this is the key in living a clean life and fulfilling the promises that you made to God and doing the things that He wants from you. Love the Lord your God. Now, it ain't complicated, is it? It's a simple thing. And you can look at me and you can say, brother, I'm having a hard time getting this thing out of my life. Well, I fully understand. I'll promise you I do. I fully understand. I have had problems all of my Christian life with my own stubborn self. I'm just telling you that. I thank God that He hasn't given up on me and quit and thrown me away. But He keeps working with me. And He'll keep working with you. The difference between losing all the progress you've made and progressing on further is whether you're going to quit or whether you're going to love the Lord your God. And you know, I realize this ain't a jump up and down shout message. This is serious business. I want you to take it seriously. I want you to think about it. And if you love the Lord your God, I want this now to be encouraging to you. If you will seek Him, He will be found of you. If you love the Lord and you're having problems in your own life with something in your own life, can I tell you, you'll do more good telling Him than you will telling me? I know He already knows it, but why not tell Him? Why not go ahead and tell Him, you know, look, I've got a foul mouth, or I've got foul thoughts, or I've got foul actions. I've got bitterness in my heart. I've got a problem. I can't keep my mind off of money or off of whatever it is. Why don't you tell Him what He already knows? If you really love Him, He's the one who's going to help you with that. I can't fix you. Ain't nobody else in here can fix you. But there's a God in heaven and He can. And if you want to grow further with God, know this, the last thing you quit on is the first thing you've got to pick up now. The last thing He told you to do that you haven't done is what you've got to finish now. Whatever it is. And it don't matter if it's a vice. It don't matter if it's an attitude. It don't matter if it's a habit that you need to stop or a habit you need to start. Whatever it is that God has told you He wants from you, you're not going any further till you carry forward on that point. But if you won't quit Him, He won't quit you. Because just like He promised this one crowd, if you forsake me, I will forsake you. He also told another time that I will never forsake you, even to the end of the world. All you got to do is choose which one of them crowds you're going to be in. Whether you're going to quit on Him or whether you're going to love Him and push through and follow what He wants. But however you decide to follow Him or not, know for certainty that His promises are true. If you won't forsake Him, He won't forsake you. But if you quit, He quits. And it's your call. It's your call. Well, I've got for you this evening. Told you to try to keep it short. Love you. I want good for you. It's good to see you again. Good to be back. We're just going to close out with a word of prayer this evening, and we'll dismiss. Brother David Willis, if you would you close us out with a word of prayer, sir?